If you would, please, turn your Bibles to Esther chapter 3. We're going through the book of Esther. Esther chapter 3. We have a man, a Jewish man, Mordecai, who it works for the government in this situation here. We have his daughter, his adopted daughter, who is the queen now. But nobody knows they're related. And then we have this man, Haman, who we talked about last week. It was Haman the Agagite. And this Agagite, he descends from King Agag, who was an Amalekite, which is an enemy of the Jews. And God had said that they would be an enemy to the Jews. And it's the Jews were supposed to exterminate the Amalekites, but did not. Saul, the first king of Israel, did not do what God told him to do. And did not kill this King Agag when he had the chance. And we see even now, 300, 400 years later, when we had the chance to do what God told him to do, and they did not do it, it comes back again. And we talked about last week how that's just like, you know, our sin and our flesh, where God wants us to crucify the flesh and to not, you know, allow it to hang on, not allow some little sin to hang on in our life and just keep it back in the corner, and then it comes back and it comes back and it comes back. We're to get rid of it. So we saw that last week. And so we have this man Haman, the Agagite, and he was put up, he was promoted in this kingdom. So if we're in Esther chapter 3, let's read the first five verses if we can. Please stand with me. Esther chapter 3, we're going to read the first five verses. We have Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and we have Mordecai. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you be with us this morning. Allow our ears to hear what your word has to say, and allow me to speak truth and be with me and guide me and just help me to preach a message that we can all take into our lives and apply to our lives. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
So we have a commandment from the king to bow down and to reverence this man Haman, the Agagite. And all the king's servants, all of his officials, they all did this, right? Except for Mordecai. Mordecai would not bow down and reverence this man Haman. Now it's 4th of July coming up tomorrow. So I'm looking at this, and I think we can tie this in a lot to patriotism, to, you know, our thankfulness for our country, but also where our true citizenship lies. I mean, Mordecai, he was a Persian at that time. He was a Jew, but he was living in Persia. And he was working for the Persian government. So, I mean, he was a citizen of Persia, but Mordecai, he knew also who his true God was, where his true citizenship was here. And so when they were commanded to bow down and to reverence this man, first of all, Haman was the Jews' enemy. And God had cursed the Amalekites, and Mordecai no doubt knew this because it says in the book of Esther that he was an Agagite. There's no reason to reference a king that was 300 years before unless that was important to Mordecai, that he was the Agagite. And the Jews still to this day, during the Feast of Purim, they celebrate this. They talk about Haman, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. They always talk about him, the Agagite. But Mordecai knew who this man was. And he was promoted in power there in the Persian government. And the king, Ahasuerus, the king over everybody, said, you must bow and reverence this man. Now, would you? Would we? We're to bow and reverence. I don't think this was just a bow, you know, like you see some, the Oriental cultures, they'll bow kind of like that. That they'll do to everybody. This was bowing and reverencing this man above all else. He was the only one we're told that this is the commandment given to. Do we bow and do we reverence men? Let's turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 9. Speaking of God, Psalm 111 verse 9 says, He sent redemption unto His people, did He not? Amen. He sent redemption to His people. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. This is the only time in the Bible that the word reverend is used. Holy and reverend is His name. Whose name? God. God alone is holy. God alone is reverend. We give our reverence and our honor to God. So the only time that reverend is used in the Bible, it's for God. It's a title of God. Holy and reverend is His name. Turn to Acts chapter 10. So to reverence and to bow down before somebody else, should he have or would we do that? We should bow down before God. We should reverence God. Holy and reverend is His name. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 25. In Acts chapter 10, verse 25, we have Peter. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. So Cornelius fell down and bowed down and reverenced Peter, right? And what did Peter say? Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. Peter said, No, you don't bow down and reverence me. You don't bow down before me. I myself am also a man. We just read in the book of James that Elijah, he was a man of like passions as we were. Men are all created equal. Right? And that's what America is founded on. We're all created equal in that we all are sinners. We all fall short. The world would say we all put our pants on, you know, one leg at a time or something like that. In God's eyes, God is not a respecter of persons, neither should we be. I mean, if we're not going to bow down and reverence Rich, we don't bow down and reverence President Obama. We treat everybody the same because we're all created in God's image. We're all equal in God's sight. We're all precious in His sight. So, we see that God's Word says we would not bow down in reverence. And there's going to be a time coming in the end times where it's going to be commanded to bow down and worship the Antichrist. And those that do cannot have eternal life, that take the mark of the beast, that bow down before this image. There's a time that this is coming, and there's times that we have all the time to make decisions. But what it comes down to is who do we obey? Who did Mordecai obey? He could have obeyed that king, saved himself a lot of trouble, right? He's a government worker, a government employee, and it's his boss saying, bow down before this guy, but he would not. And the workers around him said, hey, Mordecai, what's the deal? Why aren't you going to? He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm a Jew. He told them that. And so they went and told Haman, said, look at this guy. He's not going to do it, and he's a Jew. Just to see if it would stand, if this Mordecai was really going to stick with it. And Mordecai did stick with it. This, we turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. So we take the example from the Old Testament, Mordecai, and what he did, and we examine it in light of all of Scripture and say, is this what Mordecai did? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it? How should we react? Put ourselves in this place. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, they've got Peter and John. They've taken these men because they're preaching the Word of God. So they brought them in because that's illegal to talk about Jesus Christ. And these priests, they said, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in His name? They were told, do not teach in the name of Jesus Christ. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So they told them straightly, you do not preach in Jesus' name. But Peter and John went out and they preached in Jesus' name. They directly, straightly disobeyed, did they not? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's where Mordecai was. We ought to obey God rather than men. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree on the cross. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. We ought to obey God rather than men. That's our principle. So when Mordecai would not bow down in reverence this enemy of God, the enemy of the Jews, not give reverence and respect unto persons, but to bow down and worship God only, he was obeying God rather than men. And we're going to see if God saw him through this as we go through the book of Esther. So we obey God rather than men. So if we come to a time, and we don't have that time here in America, praise the Lord, where we're told not to preach in Jesus' name or don't stand up and preach from the Bible. You can preach from anything except don't talk about certain things. Well, Paul said, teach them all the doctrine, the whole Word of God. If we're told not to preach the Word of God, that goes against God's command. Teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So there could come a time, right, when we have to make the decision to obey God or to obey men, but praise the Lord, we're not there yet. And praise the Lord, right now we're not. We live in the United States. We live in a nation that was founded on Christian principles. That, I mean, we still say one nation under God. I mean, the amazing things, the amazing Christianity about the United States, which we can rejoice in. You know, on our money, it says in God we trust. All these things, we know that the nation is going one way, but we know that it was built on amazing Christian principles. And not ashamed to talk about it, not ashamed to put it on the money, not ashamed to have it in our Pledge of Allegiance, not ashamed at all of Jesus Christ. And that's the way, that's the country we live in, we were born in, and still to this day we can get up and preach in today. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Romans 13, because I want to balance this to obey God rather than men. We should disobey our authorities, like Mordecai did, if they're telling us to disobey God. Amen? They tell us not to pray, Daniel went and prayed. They tell us not to preach in Jesus' name, Peter and the apostles went and preached in Jesus' name. They say bow down in reverence a certain person, we don't bow down. We bow down and worship God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Romans 13, verse 1. Government, though, we act. You just take that view and you think, well, I'm not going to obey government at all. You know? But no, that's not what the Bible says. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul, that's every one of us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Our government. The government everywhere across the world is ordained of God. God's allowed that to happen. Did God allow, over and over, He allowed the Jews to be put under some corrupt, tyrannical government? The Philistines would take over because they were disobedient. God would allow that. God allowed the Egyptians to rule them. God allowed the Persians to... God allowed this. That was ordained of God. Even though it wasn't a godly government, it was ordained of God. God had a purpose for it. So the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So we can see this purely when we put these two things together. We do not resist and just resist government and be a rebel against government, as some Christians will even do. Just for the sake of we don't like government and we... No, if we resist, we'll receive to ourselves damnation, it says. We should submit ourselves to the higher authorities unless it asks us to disobey God. I mean, that's... We obey. If they tell us to drive 55, we drive 55. We have to think, is this a law that causes me to sin? Is this a law that would cause me to disobey God? If it is, we obey God rather than men. If it's not, we submit ourselves and be subject to the higher powers. For rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. And praise the Lord, in the United States of America, we have been in a nation that is built on righteous. I'm built on righteousness, and it is a terror to the evil works, and the good has been allowed to prosper. Look at verse 4, talking about the government. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute. We ought to pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Would Christ have agreed with that statement, to pay your taxes? Give therefore unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, right? Christ would have said, you pay your taxes. What is that money with, what's that to us? You know, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. We give our taxes, we are honest on things, we obey the government. We submit ourselves. Let's turn to 1 Peter. And I say praise the Lord that overall, I mean, this nation that we live in, that we're celebrating the independence, it's a great nation to be able to submit to. You know? I mean, think of China. They're underground church. They're not supposed to have church. They're not supposed to preach the name of Jesus Christ. But this morning they are. Because God has commanded it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We must. There's no laws like that in America. Praise the Lord. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to thank these men for that fought and died. I mean, over the generations to give us this freedom that we have. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. So we obey God rather than men. God is our supreme. He alone is reverent. He alone is holy. We give total allegiance to God. That's who our leader is. But He has told us to submit yourself to the ordinance of man, to put ourselves under government because government is ordained of God. He's told us to do that unless it disobeys Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. We want to have this, have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. All those out in the world that are not Christian, we want them to look at us and say, you know, that man, he's honest. That woman, she's honest. You know, they pay their taxes. They follow this. They follow the laws. We want to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So by seeing the way you act in the world, the way, I mean, Dale doesn't want to have to pay those taxes, but he does. He doesn't want to have to do these things. Scott doesn't want to have to file and do all this paperwork and all this stuff, but he does. And that people from outside the church that are not Christian can look at that as an example, and they can glorify not you, but God. And they can turn to God so that when He comes, they can glorify Him. They can be won by our conversation, by our conduct, by the way we talk, by the way we act, by putting ourselves under government. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We don't do it because President Obama deserves it, because he's so much better of a man than we are. Not because the Congress is made up of so much better men and women than we are. We're all equal. You know, we could all do that. We all have roles that we're to play, but we submit ourselves because we do it for the Lord's sake. We submit ourselves for the Lord's sake. And that's, I mean, you can see this all throughout Christianity. You see it in the marriage relationship. The husband is not so much more supreme. The only way a wife submits to her husband is for the Lord's sake. The only way children submit to their parents is for the Lord's sake. The only way we submit to our bosses is for the Lord's sake. The only way a slave would submit to his master is for the Lord's sake. We can do all these things for the Lord's sake if we understand where our true citizenship is. It's not here on earth for this 80 years where we can be proud to be in America, but we understand that we are not American. We are souls and we are Christians. And that's where our true citizenship lies. 1 Peter, we're still here. Verse 14. Let's finish verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Are you doing that? Or are you thinking, well, this law doesn't really matter. I don't agree with it. I'm not going to obey this thing. I mean, your kids are watching you. Other people are watching you. You know, you run a stop sign out in the country road. You look around, no one's coming, just run the stop sign. What kind of example is that to anybody watching? We submit ourselves to every, it doesn't say most, the common sense ordinances, the ones you agree with. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We can put to silence men and non-Christians by us doing well. And here it's talking about us submitting ourselves to the laws and doing what we're supposed to do as citizens of the United States. And again, praise the Lord, we're in the United States. We can gripe. And we can have all these talk shows talking about how terrible things are, but things are pretty good. Blessed. We are blessed, are we not? I mean, we understand, taxes, but we understand you have to pay taxes. That's how roads get built. We don't want roads like the Congo, do we, Dale? I mean, we understand there's a reason and God has ordained this, and we have a great government to submit to until they ask us to do something against God. And I feel free to say whatever is in the Word of God. No one's going to come in here with a rifle and, you know, praise the Lord, we live in America. And it's a blessing. And we should be thankful to God for living in America. Look here, as free. Okay, so verse 16. The will of God is that we put to silence these men by our well-doing, by our following the laws, our ordinances, every ordinance. As free, we are free. Well, if we're free, can we not do whatever we want? No, it says not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. but as servants of God. And God told us to serve Him, submit ourselves. We're free. We know we're not citizens of the United States. I'm not going to go through my whole life in heaven saying, I'm Lee Smith and I'm an American. We don't care in heaven if we're American, if we're Chinese, whatever we are. Our citizenship is in heaven. So I know that I'm free, that I'm really not an American. But we don't use that freedom as a chance to say, well, that means I'm not going to obey the American laws. You know, we don't use that freedom that we have in any way to disobey. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So in America, we can disagree however we want with politics, with governors, with presidents. We honor them, though, because we fear God. He is supreme. He alone is holy and reverent. And we submit because of God to them. And we understand that freedom, we're going to hear a lot, I mean, what is that Lee Greenwood song? They'll play at the end of the fireworks, God bless the USA. And, you know, at least I know I'm free. But as Christians, we know we're free because Jesus said what? If the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. There's so many people that we think we have freedom in the United States because, you know, we live in this country, we're proud to be American. We really know where our true citizenship lies. We're thankful. Praise the Lord, we're in America. And it gives us abilities and responsibilities as well to help people in the Congo. We have finances we can spare to give Bibles. We can help the Menaries. We can do these things because we're in America, because we don't deserve to have jobs at, you know, Case IH and these kind of things. We're not God-given rights to be able to work wherever, you know, earn good money. God has given that blessing, but it's a responsibility, right? But we are free indeed because of Jesus Christ. That's true freedom. We don't use that freedom, though, to disobey the government. Man, I'm thankful this morning to be in America. So, where is our true citizenship? Okay, whether, you know, we live in a country that's good or bad, whether we live in the Persian Empire or we live in the United States, whether Christians are being elected back, you know, we think in the 1700s, 1800s, I mean, they elected good men with principles, solid Christian principles. Now, you know, we got men that nothing surprises you if they get caught doing something, you know. And we know that. But no matter what kind of men are being elected, what kind of men are in power, where's our true citizenship? I mean, we shouldn't live and die with every Rush Limbaugh show that comes on. And we're like, oh, and it just kills us. That's not our true citizenship. Our true citizenship is in heaven. We can obey. We can support. We can do what we can. But we should not live and die, and our hopes and our dreams are built off of America. We do what we can, and we're thankful for it. But our true citizenship is in heaven. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Our true citizenship. I mean, especially here, we're proud to be an American. We're thankful. I think we're more thankful than proud, because proud means that, you know, we've kind of done something. I've done nothing. There's some men that have done something that are here today. But I can't be proud of being an American. I was born here. I've done nothing to be proud of. Like me saying, I'm proud to have blue eyes. I did nothing to have blue eyes. We should be thankful that we're an American. And so we come to Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, talking about these Christians that are not walking as Christians. They were Christians, but now they're living another life. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, even now I tell you of even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These men who were once in the church, now they're enemies of the cross. Whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So these are men that are totally wrapped up in earthly things. For our conversation, speaking of Christians, for our conversation is in heaven. Our life, our citizenship, our conduct, our whole being is in heaven. That's where we are. When we're saved, when we're born again, we are born again as sons of God. We're adopted into that family, and we know we have a place in heaven. We are given eternal life from that moment on. And no man can pluck us out of Christ's hand. We are there, and from then on, when we become Christian, we can live and look forward to heaven. Because that's where our conversation, that's where our conduct, that's where our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're going to be in heaven. That's where we're looking for Jesus coming back from heaven. On that glorious day when the rapture happens, if we're here, we're going to see Jesus Christ come back, and He will change our vile body. When you think of our bodies now, I mean, Ryan's kidneys, and I mean, we all are going to die. All our bodies are going to fail. He's going to change that kind of vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able to even subdue all things unto Himself. So our thoughts, our life, our whole mindset is not of this world and minding earthly things, and you know, our God is our belly and we're just craving the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Our life should be in heaven. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ. I think Miss Virginia has on your door what? And the Sunday school rep, looking unto Jesus. That's how we should live life, looking unto Jesus, because that's where our citizenship is in heaven. He is our ruler. He is our God. Let's turn to Hebrews. We'll end here in Hebrews chapter 11. Thankful to be an American. It is a blessing to be in America. Thankful for the men who died. But let's not use that freedom even then. This is the freedom here on earth to just forget about the rest of the world that doesn't have that freedom. Use the freedom that we have and the rights that we have here as Americans and use it for Christ. Lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. It's not going to bring us earthly acclaim to give a Bible to somebody in the Congo that we'll never see, but in heaven it will. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Speaking of all these Jews in the Old Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 13. All these Hebrews, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't see Jesus Christ, but having seen them afar off through Scripture, they saw these promises and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we need to understand. We are just here on the earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're strangers and we're pilgrims. The pilgrims went from, they were on their way somewhere. That's what a pilgrim is. He's on his way. And that's all we are. We're on our way to our heavenly country. Because of what it says here, for they that say such things, if we can say that we're a pilgrim on this earth and we're a stranger on this earth, if we say those things, we plainly declare that they seek a country. What country are we seeking? It says, verses 16, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. And so that's where we're looking for. We're looking unto Jesus. We're looking unto heaven. That's where our citizenship is. We're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And so come this 4th of July, we can celebrate, we can be thankful, and we can really remember the men who died to give us what we have. But we also remember, we don't want to worry so much about our citizenship here on earth, but look towards heaven. Look to our true citizenship. And we praise the Lord for the laws we have and the freedom we have. And we know that we submit ourselves to those. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Is there any way you're, you know, little tax law here, little thing here, something. Paying somebody with cash instead of check. I mean, we can do those things and get by and not have to report things. We can do all that. No one's going to see except God. And He told us to be subject unto the higher powers. They're ordained of God. Unless somebody asks us to disobey God, we submit ourselves to every authority. And praise the Lord for the authority we have. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You so much for this day. And I thank You for the freedom that we have here in America. I thank You that we were born here. Thank You for the men who died for us to be here. And Lord, I ask that we can take this as a responsibility as well, that we can do things for others that do not have this freedom, don't have the wealth that we have here, don't have the opportunities. Lord, help us not to squander on ourselves and on our bellies and on our flesh and our lust and all those kind of things. Help us to truly see things in a heavenly point of view, truly see where true rewards and true riches can lie for eternity. And Lord, I do ask that You be with anybody here that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die, and that You can pull on their heart and just lead them to call out to You and to call upon the name of the Lord, as You say in Your word, and thou shalt be saved. To believe in thy heart, confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ died for them as a sinner, and to be able to turn to Him and trust in Him and believe in Him for salvation. Lord, I ask that You you tug on the hearts here of anybody here that does not know about their salvation. For you sent your Son to die for the whole world, for everybody, myself included. No matter what we have done, your Son has paid the price. And you loved us enough for that. Lord, I ask that you be with Ryan this morning. You be with Chandra. Lord, I ask that the next report we get will be positive, that he will be improving. Lord, we ask this for your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.